Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to talk to you about solving conflict. You know, if you bring people together, you're always going to have problems. And that's why God gave us this chapter to help believers. We just came out of some issues in my home church. And I was amazed to see the same people who can say, I love Jesus, I'm crazy about Jesus. You can see him next day, you see another size of that same person. You said, man, I'm confused. Because we are believers. And it's just like when, especially ladies, when they meet a new coming mate or boyfriend, you know, everybody's excited and giggle and just, you know, it's good you have a husband in your life until the day you came to find out you are not compatible. And nobody is compatible. Just like one of the preachers said, there's no sense of putting the same person with the same personality. I mean, it's going to be crazy. You know, in the first year of my marriage, I looked to my wife. And I didn't know her a lot, but she doesn't talk. And sometimes I'm trying to know what she's thinking. Are you upset? Are you this? I'm trying to find a way to get her to talk. Can you imagine two people in the house don't talk? I mean, it's crazy. So one of my professors said, Bruno, you talk for both of you. So it's great to be here, and I want to just encourage you. We cannot have the same character and everything. God brought us together. I'm African, you Caucasian, some are from South Africa, some are from Colombia or whatever. I mean, and God saw it fit to bring us in Christ as one family. It's something the world cannot do. Only Jesus can do it. It's impossible. In my country, Central African Republic, we all speak the same language, Sango. Yet we are fighting against one another. Can you imagine that? So you cannot be compatible. It's impossible. I have heard of a lady who... an actress who ended her 40-day marriage claiming an irreconcilable differences. We cannot match. One of my wife's acquaintance, a friend, if you will, after 3 days of marriage, they got divorced. They said, no, we are not compatible. But the problem is rarely a lack of compatibility. No two people are compatible. The problem is not knowing how to solve conflicts God's way or not being willing to go God's way. It's very important. And any two people who live together in the closeness of marriage are going to have conflict, even spiritual Christian. Don't lie. As long as you're going to be in this world, you're going to have differences. A good marriage isn't one there where two compatible people never have conflict. A good marriage is one where two self-willed people have learned to submit to Christ and to work out the differences in Christian love. I mean, me and my wife, you know, in the first year of our marriage, it's just crazy. African, you know, I love Africa with all my heart. My wife is crazy. She loves America. America, history, and everything. Two people, you know, I mean, like we ready to fight. But then, you know, I saw differences in our lives and so forth. And one day, we were talking, and we come to a conclusion in this Malipu's house. Bible is going to tell us what to do. Now your culture not my culture. Because you know, in our culture, there's a lot of crazy stuff. And it's not going to work. And since we have been decided, the Bible and Jesus is going to be the foundation of our life, believe me, I don't remember when we fight or have disagreement, a big one. Because she know her place as a lady. I know my place as a husband. And things work together. We are partners. We are brother and sister in Christ. Somebody said when you look at the couple, sometimes it's like they had been married by the minister of war. Fighting all the time. And Apostle Paul said, it's not good. Do you have a time somewhere here? But it's okay. I'm going to preach like in Africa. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I don't want to abuse your time. Thank you so much. All right. I will see if I can read that. And I know how to read those digital, but no, I'm joking. All right. So, Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking to the believers, and he said, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When there is no peace, there is no unity. And to keep the bond, there must be love. He's going to continue on and said, because there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Man, that's a lot of words and great words. And the Apostle Paul gave some principle for solving conflict. He said that we can solve conflict if we put off the behavior of the old man and put on the behavior of the new man. Verse 17, he said, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk as not other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. When somebody is blind, he can't see. He can't know where he's going. And Paul said, we as a believer, we can't walk like we used to. It's not good. You can't walk like you used to. And I just want to encourage your heart. I mean, we used to do a lot of bad stuff that you cannot do in public. When you become Christian, it must change. You can't be the same person you used to be. Your behavior, your way of doing things must change. The way you talk to people, the way you treat people must change. He continued by saying, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so long learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupted according to the deceitful lust. The old man is like you put the suit, the jacket on you, and then when you become a Christian, you have to take this one and put a new one on you. You can't be keeping up with the old fashion of the way you used to do things. And the problem is, why are we having conflict? The source of the conflict actually is the old man we have. Some people said when you become a Christian, there is no more old man. But the Bible talks about having an old man and flesh. And as a believers, we still have it. James chapter 4 said, he's talking about the old sin nature. He said, where those things come from? From the old nature we got. And you see people fighting. We come from different background and experience, and where we are from, our income and everything is different. Habit, pattern, different conviction and values, different perspective and way of thinking. As men and women, different goals. But with all these factors, the underlying reason for conflict is our old man, which is self-seeking, living to gratify its own desire. Me, me, me. We don't think about other people. That's very dangerous. Even the problem, the source in the marriages is me, myself. But when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, a radical change took place. You become a new person in Christ. You bend towards sin was not eradicated. But God made you a new person, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The power of the old man has been broken. You can't say, oh, I got to go do this and I'm a slave to this and slave to that. Paul said, no, you can't do that anymore. Verse 22, he said, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupted according to the deceitful lust. You have to put away. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a disposition of heart. We have to decide it. Now I'm in Christ. I'm not what I used to be. My life now is different, and I'm going to live according to the Christian principle. You must believe what God says, what you are a new person in Christ, and you must act upon that truth in your behavior. As you learn to believe what God says about you in Christ and to act upon it daily, you will learn to get along with other people, whether your mates or others, because you are daily dying to the old self. So you can solve a conflict by putting on the behavior of the new man, which Paul specified in verse 25. He said, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He said, if you have problem in your life or with neighbors or in the church, we have to learn to communicate. Communication is very important. You have to put a lie, set a lie aside, and be truthful to one another. If we don't do that, there is no basic for communication. Paul said it's not going to work because we are Christians, and the way we got to deal with things change. So number one, you got to put the old man aside. And then what you got to do? Put a new man on you, inside. A new man. Paul spelled out five behavior change of the new man. And when you have a new man, first thing, the new man will replace the falsehood with truth. We all used to lie. When I was young, I lied. You know, sometimes we try to come up with some kind of a formula to excuse the lying, but God knows the truth. We lie because we are sinners. But when we become Christian, we need to learn to speak to the truth to one another, because Paul said, first of all, we have to remember we are one family. We are members of one another. But how much more does it apply to marriage partners who are one flesh with each other? You know, we are here, different background and parent and values and Everything by God chose to bring us into one big family of Christian. And we don't have to see one another differently anymore. We are family. And when you are family, there's going to be conflict. Even me and my oldest brother sometimes, he do stuff, not bad, like a sin, but the way he deal with family, I sometimes don't like. But we have a disagreement, we have to talk, and yet we still the same family. Now that's not the case for many things I have seen happening in the Church of Christ. One time one of the lady wanted to divorce her husband, and she was talking to a preacher, and the preacher said, "Why can't you go and be honest to your husband?" He said, "No, if I talk to him, he's going to explode it. So the easy way out is divorce." Can you imagine that? Communication is very important. B, the new man replaced indifference with proper anger. You say, when we get angry, verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Because when we get angry, we have a tendency most of the time to sin. Don't you think God was angry with Adam when he sinned in the Garden of Eden? Don't you think so? He's not happy with him. He's upset. Maybe he's, you know, angry, you call what you want. But the way God dealt with Adam was different. You cannot even sense that God was angry. He just communicated with him and tell him what it is and said, "You sin, and I warn you not to eat the fruit of the tree, and therefore you got to go." And again, the way God treated with them, dealt with them, I mean, it's incredible. And that's the way Christians have to deal with issues, because we are the children of God, and everything we do, we have to represent God in the whatever we do. And that's the way God wants us to be. And he said it's okay to be angry, because indifference is not good. When you said, "Okay, he can do whatever he wants to, I don't care. It's a sin to me. It's not right." But at the same time, you can be angry. And the good angry is the one, it's going to lead you to talk to somebody and bring them to God, to a relationship in God, and change whatever they're doing. And, you know, you by doing that, you save a friend and you bring somebody back to God. So proper anger is motivated by the knowledge that sin destroys people. It's motivated in restoration of the sinner and reconciliation of the relationship out of the desire for God to be glorified. Thus, it attacks the problem, not the person. It's very, very important. And the Bible says we have to be careful when we see something that is not right, we deal with it. We got to be careful, even being angry, not to sin. And it's very important. And Apostle Paul, we continue by saying again, here it says, the new man who replaced selfishness with giving. And verse 28, he said, I start with verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal not no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that's nearest." The old man is motivated by selfishness. The old man. Out to get what he can for himself, preferably without any effort. He looks out for his own needs and isn't concerned about other needs, except to exploit them for his own benefit. But you can never solve conflict if both parties are trying to exploit or to enrich themselves at the other expenses. I was shocked to see one of the church I know well, and it happened to me three times now in my life in France, in CAR, and here in America, to see how churches sometimes have to go through a lot of difficulties and differences. And when I watch those people and I watch them, how do they deal with the problems? It sad my heart a lot. Because I start to ask myself, I said, what about Jesus in this matter? Is it about us? If Jesus was not dead on the cross, do you think we will be here today? No. We are here because of Jesus. And then because we are here because of Jesus, the same reason is that when things go wrong, we have to deal with whatever is going to be according to the word of God, the principle, the biblical principle. It's very important. And we have to lay aside, I'm trying to take you to my point there, aside the old man and bring the new man in to our lives and live according to the Bible principle, because that's the only way we can be successful. And Paul said the new man also replaced destructive speech with constructive speech. And I saw last week we had some issues in our church, and I just saw how people were talking to one another. And what was shocking is the pastor, the way one of the ladies stand up and said, "You are Achan. You bring a bad thing in this church and you are Achan." And each one of us, those members, will stand up and just to cuss at the pastor. I was shocked. This is the same pastor who had been serving us for 30 years. Everybody, "Oh, my pastor, he's a good man, he's a great guy." And this is the very same people. "Oh, no, I don't care about you. You got to go. We don't want you anymore." And they say a lot of bad words I even can repeat here. But I always tell my wife, I say, "You watch." I'm very careful of people who act like everything is good with them. You know, I'm very spiritual and talk nicely. Wait until a problem hits. They become a different person. Just like I was telling you with African people, you can tell that the roots of the faith is not deep enough. And when the wind comes, they start to wave. They become, you say, waver. Paul said it should not be so. As a believers, when we talk to one another, even when things are not the way we want, we got to keep the right attitude. Turn with me in the first book of Peter. Chapter 3. Peter said here in verse 8 through 12, he said, "Finally be ye..." "Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." Hey, he's talking to Christian here. Compassionate. Where is the compassion? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. One mind, having compassion one of another, love as brother. I'm shocked. The way I treat my brother, I treat him better than that. Because we didn't get the point. If we have understood that we are one family in Christ, I think it will change the way we're treating one another. Don't you think so? One family. Not rendering evil for evil. And when I heard people talking, "Yeah, you did me this and now you got to go." That means vengeance. Somebody, "You step on my toe, I'm going to find a way to step on yours. If I don't do it, I'm not going to be happy until I do it." He said, no, not so. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise a blessing, knowing that ye are there unto call, that ye should inherit a blessing. He said, that's for that very reason that God called you out of the world. So you can be a peculiar people. Do you think the way world works, how it works? You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And if we do that, then what is the difference between us being a Christian and unsaved? Tell me the difference. There's no difference. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his what? Tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That means when you do wrong, God is not gonna be happy with you. His eyes is gonna be against you. The one who do right, God is gonna be good to him. He's gonna bless him. He's gonna make a way for him, for everything to go good for that person. So being a Christian, there's a price to pay. Sometimes we have to lay aside our rights because we want to please Jesus. But many times that's not the case. Yeah, it's a case when things go well, go good. Until somebody says something I don't like, then you see I become a different person. And I said, if this is the gospel, then leave the Muslim alone. If it can't bring changes in our lives, why are we trying to go and tell people about Jesus if the very word here cannot bring changes in my own personal life? And when people see on the TV Christian fighting and bringing the dirty clothing into the world, what the people are going to think about you? They're going to take it and exploit it for their own cause. Destructive speech that tear down the other people will not resolve a conflict. Proverbs says, there is no one speak rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. In other words, your tongue can be a sword to wound and kill, or it can be a scalpel to deal carefully with the problem and bring healing. We got to always keep in mind, because when you live together with other people, you got to keep in mind there's going to be problems someday. There's going to be misunderstanding. There's going to be differences. But as the believers, how are we going to deal with it if it happens? It's very, very important. I'm not saying this here because there's a problem. But now, because of what I have seen, I said I want to warn Christian believers. I was telling one of the young men, I said, why are you acting like this toward the pastor? Don't you see the devil behind everything he's trying to orchestrate here, trying to divide the churches? And this young man was so mad with me. He said, you trying to accuse me? You trying to accuse me? I said, no, I'm not accusing anybody. But you got to see devil behind it. Because devil doesn't want the church to stand up and be a light. And I have been watching America. Many churches here are tearing apart over carpets. Color. Come on, guys. You're going to leave the church because they choose to buy this seat. It's a brown color. It is not red because you want red. Get over it. I mean, we got more problem, important problem, than carpet, than color, than light, than whatever. It's going to be burned someday. We shouldn't mess up with our relationship with one another because of colors. Yeah, it's true. One of the church in Kansas City, good church. When one day, the good people, I went back there. There's no church. I said, what happened? No, they fight because they bought this new church and then they didn't get along over the color of the carpet. I said, Lord, help me. It's about Jesus, not about us. And it's really sad. Rotten speech, calling name, sarcasm, ridiculous, mockery, gossip, slander, blaming, destructive criticism, angry words of threat and revenge, griping, complaining, lying, profanity, and filthy talk or dirty joke were those whose purpose is to wound, not heal, must be put away. The Bible said it. We are not just to hold our tongue, however. We are to replace destructive words with constructive words that build the other person at his point of need. And not because he deserves it, but because our God is gracious. Who deserves what? Nobody deserves anything. Somebody was saying, I write this down, a good rule of thumb is, if it is painful for you to criticize, you are probably safe in doing it. But if you take the slightest pleasure in it, hold your tongue. See what I'm saying? It's we got to be careful as a believers. It's very difficult for a believer to do that. Paul is going to continue on in verse 30 here. Now turn with me quick in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1. He said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's the way it's got to go. Paul said, let no corrupt communication, back to Ephesians, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may be ministered grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He said, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And I just for fun, I took a time to go through this. I said, there are six behavior of the old man we must put off. And Paul talked about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. And I look every definition. Bitterness resulted from anger or hurt feeling which are not dealt with. It's resulted from blaming or keeping score. You did this to me last time. Number one. We did this last time. One time my wife was telling me about one of the lady. I think she had a problem with her husband. And I don't know if my wife said it or somebody else, but she went over to a pastor, and the pastor talked to that woman about, you know, list and so forth. You have to turn the list. And the lady made the pastor understood that she got another copy somewhere else. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a list. You got a list. You did this to me. And he handed over the copy to the pastor. And the pastor said, no, we can't live like this. I mean, you need to learn to forgive your husband. You need to turn this list. And she did it, but she told the pastor, she said, I got another copy home. What is it? It's not going to work. You can't keep scores. Rest means outburst of anger. From a word meaning to boil, it's boil. Anger refers to a set of disposition of art or attitude, often with the purpose of revenge. It's boil. It's, I'm going to get him. I'm waiting for my chance. What he did to me, I'm going to pay him back. That's wrath. Clamor means fighting with a loud voice. I mean, this church, we're having a fight. If somebody go by, they will hear it because there's a yelling and screaming, and We can't do that. This is church. It's holy. Holy people here. You want to yell, go someplace else. And when you see that among of the believers, it's shocking to me. Clamor means fighting with the loud words, yelling and screaming or crying. Sometimes angry people try to intimidate by yelling. Can't do that. Those are the behavior. It's got to go by the window. Just like my wife said, old stuff put by the curb. Because she said, I like to collect a lot of old stuff. She said, no, don't bring your old stuff here. Amen? Slander means speaking against someone to another, trying to damage a person's reputation so that you look good. If somebody does the same thing to you, how are you going to feel? Paul said, no, it's not good. Malice is a general term for any kind of ill-willing or ill will toward a person. It means having it in for someone where you want to see him brought down. All this action of the old man hinder resolving conflict. They are motivated by self and thus oppose the love. Thus they must be put off like a dirty clothes. In their place, we can resolve conflict if we put on the behavior of the new man that we have become in Christ Jesus. Kindness, I love that one, was used of a mellow wine that is not harsh, that doesn't bite. The word has a nuance of being useful. A kind person thinks of the other person's need and take action to meet those needs. A kind husband allows his wife and children room to make mistakes without crawling all over them. To be tender-hearted, we saw in this word of the Peter chapter 3 verse 8, means to feel deeply for one another, love, care, show it. Wow, it's a lot of word here. Forgiving one another. Oh, some people in Africa are really good at that. When you fight with an African person, he said, I'm going to wait and forgive you in heaven. That's the way we say in Africa. I'm not going to forgive you here. We're going to forgive one another when we get there. And I feel like telling you, Jesus is, who do you think Jesus is to take care of your dirty stuff? If you can't get a fix here, that's not the place to fix it there. Because no bad stuff will get to heaven. It's a holy place. The Bible said the Greek word points to forgiving one another to undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. Got to one page now. We done? Undeserved favor. Because all of us, we have done wrong. Is when you come to Jesus, he forgive you or not? He didn't forgive you because you deserve it. As Jesus taught in the parable, God has forgiven us an enormous debt so that anything we forgive one another is small by way of comparison. You remember the guy who owned his master a huge sum of money? Somebody like $1 million, somebody owe him just $100, maybe 50. His master forgive him and let it go about the $1 million. When he got out, he saw somebody owe him just $100. He grabbed him by the neck. He said, no, you have to pay me today. If you don't pay me, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to kill you. I want my money back. I want my green dollar back. Somebody saw that, the action, his way, the way he behaved, went and talked to the master. The master said, oh, okay. He went back and got him and put him in jail. You got to pay my $1 million too. That's exactly. Jesus was trying to teach us something that, as a believer, just to think about your life, all the bad stuff you have done in life. Since I was born, I'm 51 years old today. And if I count all the bad things I have done in my life, and every night, every day I go to the cross, Jesus, please forgive me. And he forgive me. And you cannot forgive to your fellow human being one wrongdoing. Then God said, I'm not going to forgive you neither. And we as a Christian, You got to think about those things. It's very, very important. Paul said you can't do that because, first of all, you got to remember by doing that, you are making Holy Spirit sad. You grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the only person who sealed us, who's going to help us to hear the sound of the trumpet when Christ returns. So we got to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit by doing those kind of things. And we need to learn to forgive one another. Paul said, be careful. And we're going to conclude with this verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And ye be kind one to another, tender hearted. Man, when every time I read that, I just love it. Be kind. Even the definition I just read to you is not satisfying me. I feel like being kind is deeper than that. Just to be kind with somebody. The Bible is encouraging believers to be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Wow. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do the same thing for other people. Be therefore follower of Christ as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. It's a great word. But we need to put into a practice. There's going to be a moment in your life where somebody's going to hurt you. How are you going to react as a believer? I think I'm still alive today because of the word of God. I remember telling you that before, of this man who, a policeman who slapped my face big time. Boom! I wake up. And I look at him and say, what are you doing? You know my feeling as unsaved, if I was unsaved. He won't be alive. Mm-hmm. That's the way unsaved do. Go to Youngstown, you mess up with somebody, you will see. But as a believer, I look at him and I left. He thought maybe I was weak. You know, coming from America, I have a good food. I eat, I'm well, you know, I look good, you know. And I'm strong, comparing to an African guy who hardly eats just one time a day. If I knock him with this, he won't stand up. But what good is going to do? I'm there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody know this is a pastor. And by the way, they put in the newspaper. And you know what they said? Everybody was sympathetic with me. They said, oh, see this great man of God. I'm not, but, you know, that's what they said. See, this great man of God, he came here to serve Christ, and he had been abused by this policeman. It was on the news all over. I still have a copy. And I started to feel good. I just started to reverse the problem. I said, what if I fight back with him? They're going to say the pastor fought with this guy. Amen? And it's not going to be a good testimony. And one of my friends who's now is a minister, the guy who I told you is a minister of justice. We grew up to in our local church there together. He, at that time, he was the head of the Supreme Court in our country. He heard about it. He came. He was so angry with the guy. And he wanted to put him in jail. But he took me aside and he looked at me. He took me and said, come, let's go have a cup of coffee. And we went to this little restaurant place. And he looked at me. He said, he called me Bruno. He didn't say pastor. He said, what happened to you? And I didn't understand the question. I said, what do you mean? He said, I thought I'm going to come and find a lot of dead people. And I look at him and I start to cry. I said, I don't know. That's maybe the change the Bible is talking about. Because he knew me when I used to be crazy. But now being in Christ Jesus, Paul said, I become weak because of Jesus Christ. And we Christians need to lay aside our rights and took a stand for God and do what is right. Paul had been abused, yet he didn't pay people back. I mean, when you read the story of the book of Acts of Apostle Paul, he received a lot of beating, and I can put together, this is the same guy who had been persecuting the church. Now he become weak. Why? That's why he wrote. As a Christian, we become different person. The old things had been passed. Now everything's become new. And I'm tired, and I'm get discouraged when I see believers, when they have issues, they start to fight like the same people in the street. No, we are not like this. The change has been happening already. So we have to look into our own lives. And if you have problems, ask God to help us. Lord, I'm not what I used to be, and I want you to help me bring changes in my life. So when people see me, they see Christ in me. And that only can happen if God made that change in our life when we get saved. Amen. God bless you.